Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 17, it says the following: But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel said to the guard who was over the official who had appointed over the chief official who had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end, of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. That's a shout from somebody who's fasting right now. At the end of the 21 days, I think you're going to look better than those who have not gone through that with you. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables and said, and to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand of praise. Because our sermon title today is Whatever It Takes. That's the cue. I just wanted y'all to get a little bit of old church before we got started, because listen, this season that we find ourselves in is going to take that kind of resolve of whatever it takes. Let the church say, whatever it takes. Look to your neighbor, say, whatever it takes. Talk to yourself, say, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes means I'm fully invested in a particular process to see it through to the end. And many of us during the fasting season are turning away from comfort food and turning our attention towards God. And we're seeing the benefits of prayers being answered, focus being renewed, drawing closer to God and to each other, because we're not in this alone. But being all in and saying whatever it takes also entails going through rough parts. Being all in into the fast means enduring headaches. Amen. Enduring hunger pains as part of the journey. And it means recognizing the emotional triggers that cause us to want to eat and being intentional about the practice of prayer when things get difficult. And this text lines up with Daniel, who has decided to be all in with God. His commitment makes him focused in spite of the distractions. And Daniel has the understanding that I'm choosing God, whatever it takes. Whatever it may cost me, because he'd rather be on the side of God than be on the side without God. And today we're going to dig into the mindset of whatever it takes. Our first point is the following: you can do it despite distractions. You can do it despite distractions. Church, say, I can do it despite distractions. One more time, like you believe it, I can do it. Despite distractions. This book of Daniel, and Daniel is our protagonist, and finds himself in a particular and peculiar position. Last week, remember we talked about Ezra? And Ezra was talking about the people of God coming out of bondage. But Daniel is that precursor story of the people going into bondage. The Lord allows the people to be overtaken because they're disobedient. God has allowed the articles of the church to be taken out and allowed the people to be taken under, but you can still do it despite the distractions. And part of their bondage was this: the best and the brightest young men were chosen to serve the king. They were offered a diet that didn't line up with their beliefs. they had part of their names changed from their Hebrew names to Babylonian names. And based on their previous behavior, they incurred the discipline of God. And even in that environment, they had a choice to make. Were they going to follow God even when things got difficult? You can still do it despite distractions. The disciples' fast that we started a couple weeks ago, that one that I explained was for breakthrough, and that was powered by gratefulness. The Ezra fast was for problem solving, and that was powered by faith. The Daniel fast is propelled by boldness. Let the church say boldness. On the backdrop of discipline, that even though God is dealing with me, I will still do God's will. Despite distractions. And Daniel has to decide that I will follow God even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's unbearable, even when it's uneasy, even when it's agonizing. It's easy to put God first and trust God when things are happening that I like. But what happens when I have to respond to the Lord's discipline or his will for my life that I don't necessarily agree with? And still be bold enough to trust him. You need a little bit of Bible. Moses, boy, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you still all in when God tells you that the people won't see the promised land and you won't either because of your behavior? David, will you do whatever it takes? Are you still all in? Will you still choose God after you confess your sin and pray and God allows the child that you had to pass away? The child that was the byproduct of your infidelity. Mary, are you still in? Will you still choose God when your son who is sinless has to go with the cross for the sins of those who are currently crucifying him? And in this fast, Daniel is operating in the middle of all these distractions. And let me bring this closer to home. Our sins are our distractions. Because they take us out of the path of God's perfect will for our lives. And is there a shout in the room this morning? Watch this. Because God does not throw us away when we become disobedient or distracted. We can stand in confidence of saying this. I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'll do whatever it takes, believing that I can do what God has called me to do despite the distractions in my life. Let me come a little bit closer. How many of you have been sent to your room? I know you need to put your hand down over there on the side, drummer boy. I don't know the last time you've been on Punch Man. Anybody else been sent to your room? Sent to your room? Sent to that child was weak. Let me try this again. How many people have been put on punishment? Punishment. It's okay. It's okay. If you grow, your parents ain't going to get mad at you. When you get put on punishment and sent to your room, you got choices, do you not? When you go to your room, you can change or you can be distracted. When you go to your room, you can cover your mouth and curse in your pillow. Or you can be distracted. When you go to your room, you can blame your parents or your friends that got you in trouble. Or you can decide to change. When you go to your room, you can find a way, get in trouble, to keep doing what put you here in the first place, but be more sneaky about it. Or you can try to change. It's only painful when you resist the flow of the river. What I'm trying to get across to you this morning is sometimes God has to send you to your room. Oh, this may not be for everybody this morning, but this is for some of us who are in a season of God dealing with us. And the dealing with us will cause some of us to not want to say whatever it takes because we don't like it when God sends us to our room. When God sends us to our room, yes, we curse in the pillow. When God sends us to our room, yes, we blame the world. But the text is letting us know that whatever it takes is going to take you, still trusting God, even when God has to deal with you. Is there a shout in the building that will say, I'm going to try to trust him, even though I don't like how he's dealing with me right now? How do we handle God's discipline? Sister Jada, sometimes when God disciplines us, we get hostile. Let the church say hostile. We get angry at God. Now, anger is for a moment. Hostility is when I hold on to it for a long time. And we make that emotion toxic. Or when God disciplines us, we go to this place of concealment. Let the church say conceal. We try to hide the behavior from God because God is not pleased. So we try to hide it so we can keep on participating in it. Oh, it's going to be tight today. Or when God deals with us, we get anxious. Let the church say anxious. We stress out that God is dealing with us instead of finding peace with the fact that God loves us enough to deal with us. We stress out because we've been found out, or we find this a lot lately. We go in this place of isolation. Let the church say isolation. We remove ourselves from healthy relationships and connections that remind us of God's love. We stop answering our text messages. We stop coming to church. We stop going to healthy family functions, believing that we're all alone in a foxhole and that we are unloved. But verse 8 says Daniel purposed, or Daniel had a mind toward. In other words, my response is not in my emotions, but my response is in my mindset to say yes to God, that no matter what is going on, I'm still going to do whatever it takes. Is there a shout the morning of an I'm all in mindset? Well, watch this. God, I know I messed up. God, I know it wasn't your fault. God, I know I'm guilty by association, because your word says bad company corrupts good character. But God, I know you love me enough not to throw me away. You love me enough to guide me. So I'm sorry, but God, I'm turning around. God, I'm sorry, but God, I'm changing my ways. God, I'm sorry. I'm going to say whatever it takes, I'm all in, even when you got a deal with me. If you believe that, give God a praise this morning. Since you're connected with the God that loves you enough to stop you from destroying yourself, since you're connected to a Savior that has given his life to you and a Holy Spirit that is still trying to reside with you, don't keep doing what is destroying your present and your destiny. But lean on the everlasting arms of a Father that loves you. God didn't throw away people when they were disobedient. He loved them enough to deal with them. God hasn't thrown us away when we willingly go down a road that he doesn't like. God still loves you, and your sin doesn't cancel out his love. Uh-oh. Somebody go and post this and clip it up. God still loves you, and your sin doesn't cancel. God still loves you in the middle of the sexual sin. God still loves you in the middle of the financial sin. God still loves you in the middle of the relational sin or the emotional sin. And God is still there. And since God hasn't given up on you, don't you give up on God even in a time of discipline. Let the church say, I'm all in. Yeah, I was weak. Let the church say, I'm all in. I'm a pressing, Lord. Please meet me at this place. Anybody know what it's like to do something and everybody leaves you alone? Thank you. Whoever that was, God bless your life. May heaven shine upon you richly. When you do an act and your circle knows and your circle has decided, no, you got to get out. Now, whoever said yes, don't tell us what it was. Amen. The blessing is you are in connection with a God that is the one who's still there, even when everyone else turns their back on you. Isolation is a cold place. And what we forget as believers is that we have a relationship that even though we're distracted, he is still willing to come after us. That's a shout right there. If you've ever been in a place where I didn't think anybody else loved me, I'm here to let you know the songwriter said, Jesus loves me. This, you know what? I don't think that's a children's song. I think that's an adult song. Jesus loved me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. Why? Because when everyone else turns their back on you for something you messed up on, the Bible lets you know you're still loved in spite of your distractions. But let me get out your way. Since I'm all in, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Since I'm all in, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. I'm ready to do whatever it takes. Now turn to the other one, because you might have scared that one. Turn to the other one. Because I know some of y'all eyes. Turn to the other one and say, neighbor, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Daniel says, I know I'm here based on the foolishness of past behavior. So even though we're bound, I won't be in bondage to this food. Whatever it takes, for some of us, it's time for us to take a stand for God in our lives. The text doesn't go into the food, but I did some digging. And the food that was offered to Daniel and his friends was from the Babylonian court. And that food had pork and horse flesh in it. And it was unclean, and eating it would go against the will of God. Let the church say whatever it takes. The food also had a beverage in it, and the beverage was wine. Hold on for those of us who partake. The wine was not a bad thing. But the wine was poured out in honor of Babylonian gods. And that was forbidden by God's law in Daniel's life. So what I'm seeing before me will compromise what's in me. And I have to be determined to make a decision for God. Let the church say whatever it takes. Now this stand is not only going to affect Daniel. But there are others who will be impacted by his boldness. There is his handler. The man who is responsible for making sure they're ready to serve this king. Then there are Daniel's three friends who Daniel brings in on this. And if it doesn't work out, then things are bad for all of them. Side note, if I'm Daniel's friends, I got a little bit of problem. Playboy, I understand that you want to do this for yourself for 10 days, but why bring the rest of us in when you want to make a sacrifice for the Lord? Whatever it means I'm trusting God and his ability to show out in my life and in the lives of others. The duration is of the king's service is 3 years, but Daniel says, just give me 10 days. Whatever it takes means I know that the timeline says one thing, but I know that my God is bigger than man's deadlines. Whatever it means I can be bold for God based on my history with God. Daniel already knew God has kept him a mighty long way. Daniel already knew his name means God will judge. So God is already watching his life. Daniel already felt the discipline or felt the bill for what the king was looking for. The earlier part of the text says the king was looking for men who are wise, knowledgeable, quick looking, and good looking. Daniel said, God must be blessing me because I'm already good looking. I'm already wise. I'm already knowledgeable. I already got a quick mind. That means God has already put inside of me things that weren't lost even when I was distracted. God still has it in you even when you weren't being obedient to him, but now it's time to be bold. And Daniel says, I can take a whatever it takes attitude for God because God had a I have your back attitude toward Daniel. Somebody got a shout of that this morning. God has kept you then and God is keeping you now. God kept you when gas was 99 cents, and God is keeping us when gas is $4. God has provided for you when you started the business, and God is keeping you now that you got a full staff. God has provided for you when you had the dream, and now God is keeping you when you're bringing it to a reality. If you believe that, give God a hand of praise in this morning. But guess what? It feels in this season that Daniel is up against it. Daniel is what's called up against the ropes. Daniel's up against the ropes, and some of us feel like that right now. We're up against the ropes. We know that God has been dealing with us, but we're ready to come out of it, and we're ready to do whatever it takes. I did some research. When you're up against the ropes, there's three things. There's three things you need to do when you're up against the ropes. The first thing you need to do is keep calm. Let the church say, keep calm. Wait a minute. Let me make that plain. Up against the ropes is a boxing term. Does everybody get that? I just had to make sure. A boxing term, so when you are up against the ropes, your back is against it, there's three things you need to do. Keep calm. The church say, keep calm. Keep calm. Number two, keep your guard up. Y'all said it without me saying repeat it. Last thing I want you to say is watch for an opening. Again, let's try this again. The church say, keep calm. Keep calm. Keep your guard up. Watch for an opening. Daniel is against the ropes. He can't eat and can't drink what they eat and drink. He says his God is going to come through. He's bold because he's all in. Daniel keeps calm. Never in the text do you hear Daniel panic. Daniel never says, I'm worried about what God will do. Daniel keeps his guard up. Everybody put your arms up like this. Keep your guard up. Some of y'all know how to do that really, really well. That means y'all been in the fight lately. Keep your guard up. That means he didn't eat. He didn't drink. He stayed with God. In fact, he found favor with the handler. He kept his guard up and says, I can't do what they do, but I'll trust that God will provide for me. Then Daniel waited for his opening. Daniel Daniel says, give me 10 days and I'll look better. Give me 10 days and I'm sure God will come through. And for some of us, you're in a season where you need boldness and you'll have to trust God to fight your battles. And even though the environment is rough and you are against the ropes, I need you to keep calm. I need you to keep your guard up. I need you to watch for the opening. Come on, get your hands up. First of all, keep calm. Get your guard up. Keep calm. First of all, here's a shout. This ain't the first time you've been in a battle and God has had your side. This ain't the first time you had to go. This ain't the first time that the business had to go through a change. Second of all, I need you to keep your guard up. That means keep the word of God in your mouth. That means whatever happens, my response to the issue is the word of God. Whatever happens, I'm the head and not the tail. Keep your guard up. Whatever happens, I'm above and not beneath. Keep your guard up. Whatever happens, he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Keep your guard up. And then I need you to wait for an opening. Now, keeping calm, you can do. Keep your guard up, you can do. But wait for an opening has to come from the Holy Spirit telling you what to do in a situation. Because he was informed that in 10 days, everything was going to turn around. So as you're fasting, let God inform you of when to go for your opening. Your opening may be tomorrow. Your opening may be on Resurrection Sunday. But whenever it is, when you come off the ropes, come off swinging. Come off the ropes, knocking the enemy out. Come off the ropes, believing that you are a champion. If you believe that, give God some praise this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, even on the ropes, I can win. Come on, say that again. Even on the ropes, I can win. Give God some praise. And that's Antoine plays, and I'm about to get out of here. I'm about to get out of here. Verse 17 is very powerful because it gives us a great end to the story. It says, these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Hear this, God is willing to deposit and unlock power inside of you as you are willing to submit to his authority. God unlocked it in them. God will unlock it in you. What you need to do is acknowledge that they're distractions, but stay with God whatever it takes. I know that during the discipline process, you may want to go against God because you don't like how he's dealing with you. But in this season, don't keep going back to wrong. Keep going to his will, whatever it takes. And I need you also to remember, keep calm, keep your guard up, and watch for your opening. Don't stress out in this season of trial. Don't stress out in this time of a leap of faith. Don't stress out because this is not the first time. And if you haven't been aware, God has been keeping you. Keep your guard up. Keep the word of God in your mouth. And finally, people of God, watch for your opening so you can be a testimony to the world that you're all in. You're staying with God no matter what. Whatever it takes. You believe that? Why don't you give God some praise this morning? Amen. 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 Listen, as we're standing to our feet, as we're standing, I'm going to ask again. We're going to do this for this week and next week as we finish out our fasting season. So